Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, aka Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Back to another episode of Habs Nightly, folks. A strange week, a long week, but you know what? An enjoyable start to the season for Habs fans. But before we get into any of the games, Mason, how are you, bud?
I am tired, buddy.
He's fucking tired.
Midterm week, but I'm excited, you know, to kind of get a reprieve from all the studying, all the tests, and talk about the boys absolutely kicking the shit
out of the fucking
Toronto Maple Leafs to start the season.
Oh, so good.
Oh, that was awesome. They came back. Like, that was an exciting game. That was, like, a really good game of hockey, not even just from a Habs fan. Like, if you're a hockey fan, that was an exciting game. Cole Caulfield. Oh my God! Off to a hot start already.
I hate that I didn't get him in the draft. Like, I am so tempted to do what I shouldn't do, is like make a trade after week one.
That's a horrible thing to do.
Just out of, you know, like the itch, because you have a gut feeling this kid is going to be lights out this year.
No, absolutely. And he looks like he's going to be lights out. He's been all over the place. Unfortunately, Habs have not won a game since opening night. But
there it is.
You know, it comes with the business of trying to draft Connor Bedard. But if you do want to focus on that game one, do you want to talk about them all or like kind of at once?
I think game one was really good. It's the season opener. There's a lot of things to really look into on that game. I feel two and three. Now, I didn't get a chance to see too much of three, but I feel like, I don't know.
I didn't miss much. Game three.
Yeah.
If we can break down game three really quickly. phenomenal goal from Nick Suzuki. Mm-hmm. Basically a individual effort. Arbor Jack guy did well to step up, dump the puck into the zone.
Got his first assist, right?
Yeah, first point ever by a player with the last name that starts with X. So that's pretty cool.
Hose
also,
man.
Apparently the youngest undrafted defenseman to score a point in the NHL.
Hose man.
Yeah, like I thought that was a weird. He's the youngest.
What a sick stack.
Yeah. So good for Arbor Jack guy. Great goal from Nick Suzuki. Caden Gooley got into sort of a fight. Anthony Mantha's a bitch, elbowed him in the head, then shoved him into the net. I haven't seen that happen in a fight before. Like, avoid the fight. other than that, one of the most boring games of hockey I've watched, like including the preseason. And I don't know why, Corey, you may disagree with me, but I find Washington so fucking boring to watch. Like, unbelievably boring. Like, every time I watch them play, it's just they're slow and they forecheck hard and they pass the puck to Ovi. Like, that's it. That's all they do. And tell me how that guy still gets open. Like, watching the penalty, basically, my takeaways from that game, Habs seriously, seriously, seriously still need to improve their special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're awful.
Yeah.
Awful penalty killing. Don't leave Ovi open. Just don't do it. Awful power play. Like, I don't know why Slav hasn't gotten a chance yet. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, overall, just a shit game. And Montembeau still sucks. He's still Montembeau. So,
Jesus.
I don't know. It's just kind of an unfortunate game. I left before it finished, to be honest. I stopped watching.
Wasn't it like a low shot game too? Let me pull it up.
I don't remember. Like, there wasn't much memorable about the game, to be honest.
Okay.
Early takeaways stats wise though.
No, it was decent. Yeah, I'm listening.
Habs time on ice, Cayden Guhle and Jordan Harris are third and fourth respectively.
Mm.
Which is pretty impressive. Cayden Guhle already played the most games of any player on both teams in the Toronto season opener. Has played amazingly, by the way. Like, if you told me he was a NHL vet of like 10 seasons, I'd believe you if I didn't know who he was. He's been great. Jordan Harris, I think, has been great too. Sean Monahan on the faceoff dot, though, 67% already. Jake Evans, 59. Dvorak, 57. Habs are winning their faceoffs. It's nice to see. And kind of what we predicted early on when we saw Monahan was going to play with Kirby Doc. Doc's still struggling in the faceoff dot, 39%.
Mm-hmm.
But Monahan has been there to take faceoffs for him and has been doing a really, really good job at it. So they've had the puck on their stick more often than not, which is really great for a player like Kirby Doc, who, Corey, I think's just been phenomenal. I think he's, aside from Suzuki and Caulfield, and maybe even you can argue he's been more consistent than both of them. Doc's been great. Just absolutely phenomenal.
Excuse me. Yeah. And I feel like you know, unless you're looking at it as like, not, okay, he's like not putting up, I'm not going to say he's not putting up points, but he's playing like an all around, like really, really good game, strong game. It's just
he's always got the puck in the offensive zone.
Right. Pretty, you know, he's made a little mistakes every now and then, but pretty elusive with it as well. Or like hungry to pull it back. Like, I've seen
even against like the Capitals, there are a few plays where Doc would like skate, back check, steal the puck, turn mm-hmm. around and skate up the ice. His mobility is phenomenal. He's one of the most mobile players on the team. And I think Kirby Doc is what we want Slafkovský to be, in the sense of, you know, a lot of people.
Like a playmaker.
No, but a lot of criticism. Yes, a playmaker, but a lot mm-hmm. of criticism of his game in Chicago was that he wasn't physical. And we're seeing similar criticism for Juraj Slafkovský. In the sense that he's not crushing people, he's not being mm-hmm. really heavy on the forecheck and stuff. And we would like to see more of that, yes. But what Kirby Doc has done that's made up for that is he's not physical, but he's learned how to use his size and his reach to be elusive with the puck and keep the puck away from people. And he's using his hands and his reach to his advantage. He can get passes off. He can protect the puck. He can carry the puck into the zone. And that is kind of the progression and the growth we want to see from Slafkovský, is what Kirby Doc has done. And it's, if anything, I think it's kind of like, what's the word? It gives us hope in seeing that Doc was able to go from someone who wasn't using his reach and his size maybe as effectively to, I would argue, possibly the best play driver outside of Cole Caulfield right now at through the first three games. He's been that good, mm-hmm. constantly in the offensive zone, constantly making things happen and being reliable defensively as well. If we can get that kind of progression from Slafkovský through the next few years, who, you know, could project to be a lot better than Kirby Dach, that's definitely like, it's good to see. It gives hope that we maybe made the right pick.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, his play has been really, really impressive. I didn't see any of three, but game one, I feel like there was a lot. I feel like there was more rust on the players in game two than it was in game one. I think just the height of the game opener and it being against, the Leafs really elevated and put everyone on like an adrenaline rush. And I feel like watching the Detroit game, the little bit, you know, I saw two periods of it, but watching that one, I feel like that was more of the season opener. It felt like it was just so a lot of mistakes, really sluggish, you know, rusty offense, defense, except for Jake Allen, which can't wait to get to in a minute. But Kirby Dach has been, like you're saying, though, one of the key guys that have been making great strides this early on. It's just something about a guy who doesn't quit on a play or can force a play to happen. I didn't realize Kirby Dach was going to be like a really good 200-foot, you know, player, but he's been very impressive.
No, absolutely. I think the Habs have been good for the most part in playing possession hockey. And I think that's the way this team is kind of built. You want your skilled young guys who can skate to have the puck on their stick. Has it been perfect? Abso-fucking-lutely not. Against Detroit, Jake Allen had to make a franchise record 25 saves in the first period. But the hope you can take from that is the Habs gave up 25 shots and still got 12 of their own, which is just like obviously atrocious on the defensive side, but it does show that this team is going to get their looks. They're going to get their shots, right?
Yeah.
They're going to get opportunities to score. We've been saying this for months now. I don't care if this team loses 67 games this year. If they score goals, I'll be happy because that's what we need. We need our players to learn how to put the puck in the back of the net. This is going to be an offensive team.
Right.
But what I really think has helped more so than anyone thought, which, you know, I think going into the season, we were all kind of expecting the Habs to give up chances and goals like we saw against Detroit and even a little bit against Washington, where there were some awful plays, but a lot of that happened. A lot of the goals were just subject of Montembeau and our veterans too. David Savard, even, it wasn't even the young guys messing up. But to get back to my point, sorry, what I think's really helped the possession is having the three young guys at the back. We're missing Matheson, we're missing Edmondson, but Caden Gooley, Arber Jackey, and Jordan Harris have been great. They've all been exceptional. Not only defensively, but in terms of just breaking the puck out of our zone, I don't know if the Habs have been this good at it, and it is early days, but in years, like Jordan Harris in particular and Gooley too, go on skates. They like, when was the last time you saw a Habs defenseman consistently skate the puck out of the zone?
Mm-hmm.
Like I was watching Cale Makar all through the playoffs, just pick the puck up behind his own net and somehow end up behind the other
team. Fucking run it.
Which, that's not what I'm expecting, but the Avs have Devon Taves who can do the same thing. Sam Girard, mm-hmm. Owen Byram. Tampa has a bunch of guys who can do it. All your really good teams in the league have defensemen that play that way. And the Habs look like they have a young core that can do it because Barron's doing the same thing in Laval right now.
Mm-hmm.
And watching Gooley and Harris skate it up, but even Jackey, who doesn't have maybe who's way more mobile than I thought he ever could be. But he's not always going to skate the puck up the way the other two do. But even just little things like when he's, you know, going to retrieve a puck and there's a forechecker on him, he'll pick up the puck in a way so that when he gets it, the forechecker's on his back and he can just skate forward and make a clean exit pass. And the play, it kills the play right away. Right. Whereas you see, even with our veterans, like Savard, for example, he'll go in, he won't get good body position. And then he's, you know, held up against the boards. He has to try to kick it out and hope someone picks it up. Our young guys are already the three best breakout artists on our team. We'll see how Matheson does because I just haven't seen him play enough. Yeah, but on the active roster right now, like they're the three best. They've done way better than anyone else has, and that's really fucking encouraging.
No, it's yeah. Sorry about that. No, these like you're saying though, like you know their ability to move the puck out of their zone and like not just get pinched in on the wall, like to be able to bring it far and try to make something out of it. Not just that, their energy, to have this much, you know, youth and like promising youth at that, you know, it's not just because, oh, we have a lot of guys hurt. So we're having to force these guys in. We're not forcing them. Honestly, if, you know, Matheson or Edmondson was not on this team or you know, long-term IR, these kids are playing with confidence and their energy is really inspiring. And it's got to be great to be anyone on this team right now to see, you know, the youth on the defense really force its way into a prominent position. And I mean, I know a lot of people don't like Savard. It ain't helping him that these three kids are more or less running circles around, you know, a veteran. And you know, you could call it, you know, their rookie season, it's heightened, it's elevated. But I think that these kids all deserve more than just it being, oh, well, no one's seen how they play, no one's played against them, so it's still, you know, no one has tape on them, so they're new. No, I think they're just like exceptional guys that finally had a chance to come in and prove what they're capable of. But it has been fun watching it, you know, to actually look at a team and it be so young. And you know, we're only won one game, but it is so, like, you know, welcoming and relieving to see that these young kids are actually doing so well, and despite the loss, you know, there's so much to look forward to.
Absolutely. And my only criticism, like really when it comes to the three young defenders, mm-hmm. is that we haven't seen them given more opportunity on the power play.
Right.
Martin St. Louis and Alex Burrows are still running five forwards on PP2, which honestly, I kind of agree with. I like that idea. It's forward thinking. You're getting your best offensive players out there. My issue is that you're rolling out, I get you have to roll out Mike Hoffman because he's a power play specialist. You're paying him a lot of money, but he's fucking brutal on the point. I fucking hate him as the power play quarterback. Taking fucking slap shots from the blue line, wristers from the blue line. I hate it. And Chris Weidman, who I do like, I think he's a good player. I like that he's on the team. Put him on PP2 where he belongs. Give Gouley and Harris some opportunities on that top power play unit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what they can do. Harris especially. I think Gouley's going to be a better player, but Harris, I think, has what it takes to run a blue line. They both do. They're both mobile. They have good vision. Gouley can shoot. Harris is very willing to shoot. We've seen him take a bunch of rushes where he skated up the blue line, and he goes, oh, I have the space, and he cuts in the middle and fires a wrister. Like, I don't see why that guy isn't getting a look. Now, it's early days. I get it. So, you know, I'm not really complaining that much. But in the coming weeks, I would love to see them get an opportunity. Because so far, the power play has been disappointing. It has not produced. And it's kind of looked very similar to what we've seen in past seasons recently. And the only times it looks dangerous, it's not because of the system, it's because of Suzuki and Caulfield.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only times it's looked dangerous at all. And you need, obviously you need your power play to revolve around your best players, but it also needs to work when they're not going to get the looks, right? Like it needs to, it can't just be carried by your best players. It needs to enhance your best players. And right now, Montreal's power play is not doing that.
It's been tough to watch. There's like glimmers of hope, you know, every now and then, but it definitely still has a lot of work. But just to you know, backtrack a little bit on Harris, I do like, you know, like that he's taking chances, you know, with shots and stuff like that, because he does play in the preseason. I had commented that he takes some very, I guess, dangerous chances, you know, spins and shit like that. But I would expect a guy that's willing to try new things and is pretty successful at doing them to take shots, try to make something out of it other than just put the team in a good position. I'm happy that his confidence is raising and him feeling more comfortable to, you know, to attempt shit like that. It's just great eye to see he, like you were saying, he has the space. So go for it. You know, yeah. What's the worst that can happen? Yeah. Power play has been tremendously horrible, but look, we've kind of been sporadic. let's kind of focus just on game one again. Opening ceremonies were really great. Carey Price's standing ovation was unreal. Goosebumps. Nick Suzuki coming out with the C was pretty good. Not gonna lie, that was pretty good. You know what? I think it's time. We touched on him a minute, but Jake Allen's play.
First, can I just
backtrack
the phrase?
The backtrack. That was heartbreaking, man. Yeah, it was.
That was heartbreaking because you see, like, he comes out, and I think everyone in that building, there's kind of this unsaid, almost final goodbye. And when he tipped the cap, I think it became official almost in the hearts of everyone there and everyone watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seemed like a goodbye to me. It really did. I hope personally, I don't think Carey Price will ever play a full season in the NHL again. I hope he gets one last game. Even though that Florida game was pretty perfect, we didn't, you know, I hope that's not his final goodbye. But man, did it ever feel like one.
Right.
Really felt like one. So yeah, that was pretty sad to see. But you know, the fan, he's kept that building alive. You could argue the Bell Center is his.
Yeah.
There's never been a cup won in it. That's Carey's building. So it was a little tough to see that, but I love the ovation the fans gave him, and hopefully we do see him again. Although, if I had to wager, and I was a betting man, I may bet that we're probably not going to see him again. Now, unfortunately, I don't think player retirements are a list of possible options, but there are many options to bet on DraftKings, and we have, I believe, a word from them.
Always do. Hockey fans, it's finally time to hit the ice again. And thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you're in for the season of a lifetime. New customers can bet $5 on any team and get $200 in free bets if they win. It was tough that they had no games today while we're recording, but Monday starts back up. I mean, a pretty simple one. Maple Leafs versus the Coyotes. The Coyotes haven't won a game yet, but it's still early in the season. You scroll down a little bit. Stars over Jets. I think that's a pretty good haul. The Jets are still, I mean, they've got their first win, but I still feel like against the Stars team that, I mean, they just re-signed Jason Robinson, and that line seems to be doing really good. And then you got the Hurricanes and over the Krakens. I think the Hurricanes haven't lost a game yet. It's only two games in, but the Kraken are still struggling, just like last season. And the Hurricanes, more or less, pretty much have come in like a well-oiled machine. So I think those are three great options for you guys. I'm sure you guys are already on that. But if that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with the same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Y'all remember to please download the DraftKings Sports app now if you haven't already. Use promo code THPN and just bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $200 in free bets if they do. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. I should have definitely grabbed a water. But yeah, man. Jesus.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, you need that fucking mid-recording refreshment, buddy, or the voice just dies.
Yeah, and you know why I don't have one is because I didn't bring the case of water inside, and I was just like, I'll get it later. And later turned into a sticky mouth, cotton mouth during a fantastic ad by DraftKings. But let's get back to it. Before we get off of the subject, though, yeah, Carey Price tipping his hat after that, what felt like an eternity of cheers. It was beautiful, but it was tough. And, that game against Florida, where you said it was like a perfect game.
It was perfect send off for sure.
I don't feel like enough people. I know for the most part, everyone tuned in. But there was that sense of it's not over. It could be over, but he's back, So I don't feel like people paid as much attention to it. It was a tough season already. But if you didn't watch that game and now, because you were in, look, we got a whole nother season. If he's playing now, he's going to play next season in some capacity. You have got to be shitting yourself after that, opening ceremony, just seeing all the stuff, him going back on IR, his, the knee not recovering the way that they want it to. And I mean, all you get is an article about, him not giving up and still being hopeful. But
I mean, in the same article, he's talking about how it's quality of life. Like, he can barely get up the stairs.
Yeah. Why would you put yourself through any more?
Exactly. So I seriously doubt that we're going to see a return of Carey Price to the NHL. But we can be hopeful. However, you were talking about him beforehand, and I think we should probably give him the credit that's due. Jake Allen, who fucking stood on his head against the Detroit Red Wings, has been, I think, very solid in the two games we've seen him, and literally set a franchise record for saves in the first period, against Detroit. I could not believe what I was watching.
I couldn't believe we were now I know the Red Wings are, a very up and coming team and like getting their bearings back in. But I still thought there was, there would be a bit of, I felt like it was a pretty even game, but like the Canadians definitely did feel very sluggish, very like out of the loop. But that wasn't
feel even.
I mean, like the playing field. Like I expected the Canadians to at least be able to play to that level that the Detroit Red Wings brought, which is both teams didn't look that great. But what I was getting at is that Jake Allen has, he had a I think it was like a 0.9906 for the Toronto game, but he still had a pretty decent game. But Jake Allen in his second game was unreal. 0.974 shots versus.
Only let in two goals and 40 shots.
Beautiful.
Played phenomenally. And by the looks of things, based on Sam Montembeau, he's going to have to keep it up if we're going to win any games this year. Monty looks awful.
Yeah.
Just horrendous. Like, did not look sharp at all. Which, you know, from a, when I'm watching the game, it sucks. But from a Connor Bedard perspective, bring it on. I hope he starts 45 games this year, because we'll lose all of them if he plays like that. He was fucking horrendous against Washington. So I imagine Jake Allen's gonna have an awful lot to play for here.
Yeah, and you know, he's made his money. We gave him more. Welcome back. Jake Allen's like just, I don't know. Just kind of like last year when he was healthy, it seemed like one of the only guys that was really out there making a difference was Jake Allen. And I'm just so impressed that he's, you know, it's only two games and he's still playing just as tremendous as he's been since he's been with this team. It's just very heartwarming, but there were moments that I was able to see in game two that was just unreal by Jake Allen. And it has to be brought up. It just has to. This guy is, if only we didn't lose the team we had 2 years ago, to have Jake Allen, you know, have people in front of him. And I'm not digging at these guys right now, but like to have that type of momentum in front of him with the play that Jake Allen's performing, you know, I don't think it's Vezina caliber, but this would be a fucking nasty team, you know?
I think Jake Allen is a goalie that if you're going on a Stanley Cup run, you want, but you also want him in our perspective as well, because you want the guys losing for Bedard. I'll be honest, you do. If you're Kent Hughes, you want this team to lose. But you don't want them losing 10
skull-draggingly lost.
You don't want them to lose games they scored 6 goals in, right? Because that's just creating a horrible environment. They're going to get their heads down. If they score 4 goals, they should win the game. Okay? That's what, like, realistically, okay? Jake Allen ensures that most nights that's going to happen. If they outplay a team, they'll win. That's what you want. That's how you build a good environment. Now, the Habs probably aren't going to outplay a lot of teams this year. But when they do, Jake Allen will be there to win. And that's what's important. He's not Igor Shesterkin. He's not going to steal you too many games. He might, like the one in Detroit there. He could have stole that. But I think it's the perfect kind of trade-off. He's going to win you games you deserve to win, but he's not going to steal you too many, and that's okay. That's what you want.
Right.
You don't want Jake Allen dragging you to the playoffs right now where we get fisted by Tampa in the first round.
Yeah.
But on looking towards the future, the Habs play Pittsburgh Monday. Jeff Petrie's return to the Bell Center. What do you think that's going to be like, buddy? You think he'll have a big tribute, or what do you think we'll see? What do you think the reaction from the fans will be?
I think they're going to boo him, and I think that's gutless, but I understand where they're coming from, but I don't at the same time. I think Jeff Petrie should be as beloved as I perceive him to be. If COVID wouldn't have happened, Jeff Petrie would still be here. I have no doubt in my mind about it. it was tough on everybody. And we've always talked about the, you know, the mental side for Jeff Petrie. And I think that it just had the best of them, along with the implosion of our former, you know, our former office people. But I think it'll be a great game. I just honestly wish that Matheson was capable of playing too. I think that would have been a great opportunity for both, and definitely take a bit of edge off of both of them if they were both playing. But I think Jeff Petrie's gonna, I think there's gonna be a good mix. I think there's gonna be a lot of cheers. I think there's gonna be some boos as well. I just hope that they respect his time here, because he was unreal with us. We really got to see the best of Jeff Petrie, you know. I can't believe the Edmonton Oilers really gave up on him, and we got the best years of Jeff Petrie so far were with the Montreal Canadiens, and he was a very impactful player for us.
Petrie was one of the best players, like one of the best defensemen the Habs have had in my lifetime.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, like with the Habs, like,
I think Andre Markov is like of like the most recent generation that's gone out of the game. I think Markov is definitely the best, but Jeff Petrie is.
No, absolutely. I agree. But Markov, Subban, Weber.
Yeah.
The only three I can think of that since what you want to say, like 2000.
Let's say, like, you know, since I was 18.
Since Carey Price was in the league.
Okay.
I would say Jeff Petrie's probably top four, if not top five.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree with that. So
he was a great player. Put up tremendous, like every year until last year. How many years did he even play here? Let me just quickly 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He played 8 seasons in Montreal. Like, he was there for a very long time, which is just crazy because time flies. In the full seasons he played, only twice did he not score over 40 points.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those times, the quote-unquote full season, was last year, 68 games. When St. Louis came in, picked it up, finished with 27 points in 68 games. Not horrible. He was horrible last year. Don't get me wrong. But his game was picking back up. Had a career year the year before. I think Petrie's going to put up a lot of points in Pittsburgh.
I drafted him.
Honestly, I think after all those years of performing at the level he did, I think he's going to get a standing O.
I really hope so. I really hope so. And I think, honestly, Habs Twitter has made me very on guard for this man, because I mean, ooh, I did claim him to be, you know, the winner, a possible winner of the Norris. He would have a Norris caliber year last year. And I was ridiculed, but he was on track to just continue to just impress and do better than he's ever been. I just hope that, like you're saying, he gets the ovation he deserves, because, you know, he has been one of the greatest defensemen and honestly leaders this team's had, you know, and your generation. And since I was, you know, coming out of high school, he's been fantastic. I was so happy to have him, you know.
No, absolutely.
Edmonton lose out on the Jeff Petrie, you know, future. Just, you know, that was a guy I wanted. If I had the money, we've talked numerous times behind the scenes. That's a guy I'd get a jersey for, you know, and I wish I would have, honestly. I wish I had was more frugal with my money and had some saved up to have a Jeff Petrie jersey. He was one of my favorites, especially after Subban and Markov had went. You know, Shea Weber and Jeff Petrie really kind of held the glue for, you know, what we had grown to know as like our strong defense.
No, absolutely. Petrie, like you said, great player, almost a decade spent with the team. We had some very good runs with him. So I think he'll get a pretty big warm welcome from the fans. And I'm sure the Canadiens organization at least will honor him. I'm sure he'll get a good reception from the players. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. You guys can listen to this, then find out later on when you after, because it'll be released Monday, the same day. I think that's probably going to wrap things up. We're going back to two episodes a week here. So we'll be back hopefully early Thursday morning, probably. I may or may not be back. We may have a guest. We'll see. It is my midterms this week, so it'll kind of be situational. But before we head out here, before Corey closes us out, Corey, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about before we kind of wrap things up here?
I'm exhausted, to be honest with you. I went to Oktoberfest on my only day off this week, and today I was hurting. I was fucking hurting. I was very dehydrated, very hungover. But it was great. Schnitzel was on par. I got one last thing. I know you got to go because you got to study, and that's what's important. But here's the closing one. We'll take a 5-minute talk. Have you seen the possible Canadiens new retro jerseys?
Yeah, I don't really like them.
You don't like them with the powder blue?
I like the idea of honoring the Expos, but I don't like the powder blue color. I could not. It looks like it's our practice jersey, bro.
More or less, yes.
Our practice jerseys are literally like they're. It's like the it's the non-contact practice jersey. Like that's all I see when I see it.
Right, right. I think it's honorable.
I like the idea. I just don't like the.
Would I buy it? Sure, but honestly, I feel like Lou Lamoriello, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And we tried something fantastic last year or the year before that. Yeah, the year before that. The blue ones, the dark blue ones, or whatever the fuck you want to call it, the standard retro, those are elite. Those are one of the cleanest jerseys I've ever seen in my life. I don't know why you wouldn't just be like, hey, look, you guys wanted it again. Here's more of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I bought a blue retro.
Yeah, me too. I kicked the fuck out of myself, dude.
I don't know why. I just like I didn't want to spend the money, and I kind
of
regret
it. It's because of COVID. Honestly, for me, I was like, dude, as much as I want this, I'm sitting at home, you know, my back's fucked up. And COVID, you know, do I really have the money to spend this? And I wish I would have found a way. I wish I would have just been like, well, you're going to spend it on something bullshit anyway, so just get it.
Yeah, no, I wish I had bought one. I definitely will buy the reverse retro this time around, unless it is that powder blue disgusting thing. Are they for sure? Like, they're being released this year?
October 20th is going to be...
I find it so weird that they haven't promoted it more and like spoken about it. Like,
well,
it
just seems like I think it's gonna be like the year the reverses came out, you know, there were speculations on it, there was talk about it, and it was all just like left for Twitter and Reddit and, you know, YouTube.
Yeah, but they released channels. Did they not release them before the season started?
I don't remember when it was released, but it was very like when they did release them though. They released them all on one day. So it was like, you know, some people have had theirs.
Yeah, but there was like, remember there was like promo videos. They teased them a little bit. Like, we've had nothing this time around.
That's true. That's true. Maybe that was more of a money grab thing. I like the idea of it. But from what I've seen, October 20th is supposed to be the date that we get news on the Canadiens one. The concept isn't confirmed, but the color scheme is, apparently. I don't know. I hope I just really wish I can get my hands on the older one. I like the idea. I think I like powder blue. But I feel like, I don't know. I don't like the white jerseys. Let me rephrase that. I love the look of the white jerseys. I hate buying white jerseys because of stains. I think the powder blue one is even, you know, it's the same boat for me. So
fair enough. Yeah, I guess we'll have to see October when you said.
Apparently the 20th. So when you guys hear this, it'll be the 17th. So 3 days later is apparently when we're going to get more information, or at least a confirmation of what ours will look like. I'm excited. You know, any type of new Canadians jersey is cool with me. As long as they don't go back to the, was it 2013 candy cane one? Whatever year that was.
Yeah, that was tough. That. That was awful.
That was tough. But no, man, I hope you, you're studying. I hope you're doing good in your classes. Folks, thank y'all so much for listening. This has been Habs Nightly. Give us a follow on Twitter at Habs Nightly and myself at Bayou Benders. If you like the episode, like the podcast, please rate and review. It's very important and it moves us to different areas for more people to find. If you have any questions, comments, want to be something shared on the show, send us an email at habsnightly@gmail.com. If you want to leave us a voice memo, you can do so at www.speakpipe.com/habsnightly. We hope you guys have a great night. We can't wait to talk to you guys again.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.